Hi, this is Chelsea Vale. You have found the Whole Heart Podcast, a podcast for conscious parents who want to do things differently. Parenting the Whole Heart Way is about love, connection, play, and raising our children naturally. It can get, at times, a little bit crunchy. Let's jump in.
Is anyone else living in a constant state of what the hell is actually going on? I can't possibly be the only one. I will say that it's taken me a little while to want to record an episode and actually have the time to, because a lot's been happening in my personal life, just like all of you. But it's been requested that I, you know, speak on the current state of reality that all of us are living in. And so I think it's only fair to divulge a little bit of personal information regarding, you know, why we moved and how we moved and some of the struggles that we're still having, because I think all of you can relate. But most importantly, I will address how to discuss these things with young children and how to hopefully decrease the amount of trauma, stress, and anxiety that young children are facing today. But it would be difficult to have an episode and not share some of my personal opinions. And I try to be as diplomatic as possible when sharing opinions, but I will say that I've failed more than once, and I will again by being completely frank and honest and knowing that some of my listeners will disagree with me. But I'm not doing this podcast for popularity. I'm not doing it to get fans or anything like that. In fact, this is not even a moneymaker for me. This is just something that I am passionate about, getting my views out there, because I do consider myself an intelligent person. I am a researcher. I am a thinker. And I do look at all sides of all arguments. And I feel that those of us that do approach hot topics or controversial issues by looking at all sides, we have an obligation to our communities as well as our society and even our country to speak out and make sure that our voice is heard. I also think that right now children are in a very fragile state in our homes and in our communities and countries because things are in constant turmoil. And I think that our children are feeling it. I definitely get a lot more phone calls, emails, texts, et cetera, saying, I don't know what to do with my child. They are losing their minds. And from what I know as a teacher and a child therapist, anytime there is a change in a child's routine and anytime there's something stressful happening in the media and the world that parents are discussing, the children feel it. They feel the anxiety. If you're a parent who has your child in a mask, I'm going to address why I am unsupportive of that. And if you tune me out, cool. But if you'd like to hear why and maybe what could be done differently and how things could maybe be explained, you know, better to your children and how they can hopefully cope with the current state of reality, that's what this episode is really going to be about. So I know that's a lot of information, but I'm going to try to address as much as possible. So if you follow my Instagram and my blogs, you know that I moved recently. I moved from Austin to Bend. Austin experienced an influx of people at a very rapid rate. In fact, on top of my parenting business and books and podcasts and things like that, I also am a real estate agent and I own a healthcare company called Barsky Vale Designs. We design and manufacture products for babies that are in the hospital. Well, when COVID happened, we got a little bit nervous that we wouldn't be able to sell our products for quite some time, given that my distributors and sales reps cannot get into hospitals. So I got my real estate license. So last year was very lucrative for me as a real estate agent, but also very terrifying to see so many people coming into Austin, an average of about 200 people moving to Austin per day. So if you can just wrap your brain around an already very concentrated city, it's already overpopulated as is. There was very low inventory and this huge influx of people came in. The city already struggled with, you know, crowd control and traffic, and the prices of homes were always increasing rapidly, 14 to 16% a year annually for quite some time. But then after COVID, things got completely out of control because people moving in were paying way above asking price or list price for properties, and the prices, the home values just went way, 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 way up, almost to a ridiculous inflated amount. Good for me as a real estate agent, but also extremely terrifying because Austin is now at risk for people being taxed out of their own home because property taxes in Austin are almost unaffordable, you know, as is, and now it's getting even worse. So add that in with the fact that we have, you know, homeless people camping on the trails and in front of boutique hotels and in the grocery stores, robbing the stores and things like that. There were just a lot of things happening that I went, nah, this isn't really the place for me and my family anymore. So we did our research and we found a gem of a place in Central Oregon. We think it is fabulous. It's got a river running right through the center of the town. The leaves in the fall were just breathtaking. I mean, reds and purples and oranges and golds and, you know, restaurants everywhere, breweries. Every brewery has a park and a playground, which as a craft beer lover myself, it's pretty cool when you can have a craft beer or try a new cider and your kids have a you know, natural playground to climb on and play amongst new friends. And, you know, it's just the most Norman Rockwell town I think I've ever found. I thought it was a fabulous place to raise a family. And I was thrilled to be here and set up. And I met lots of like-minded women. I started a blog here in the area for the community. I started reaching out, offering parent coaching services, really started to find my own in the community and make friends. And really, I'm just in love with the town. In fact, the entire state of Oregon is just gorgeous. I mean, if you've never been to Oregon, it's definitely a place to visit. mossy caves, rivers, lakes, volcanoes, forests, misty beaches with giant rocks. I mean, just absolutely breathtaking. The entire state is underrated, in my opinion. However, Oregon politics suck, like absolutely ridiculous. They are probably worse, in my opinion, than California, because California is at least big enough that it's kind of hard to enforce everything, you know, on like a micromanaging level. Oregon, though, is so diverse as far as like natural beauty and landforms and landscapes that there's only a few like cities kind of scattered across the state. Therefore, it is able to be micromanaged to the point of sort of ridiculousness. And even though the town that we are in, we love so much and it has our whole heart, Oregon politics are scary. And, you know, they are still masking here. They are potentially moving towards mandatory vaccinations over the age of 5. And a lot of people here have decided, okay, well, we're going to go to private school. Well, if the private school takes funding from the state, then they are, you know, they have to comply with the state mandates of the masks and the vaccinations. Even extracurricular activities could potentially be affected by this mandate. Apparently, pediatricians can also find out if your child is not masking or not vaxxed and can refuse care. It seems really ridiculous. It no longer feels like a free country. But a couple of moms that I've met in the community reached out and said, could you please do an episode on how do we address these things with our young children? How do we even explain things to them on an age-appropriate level? How do we explain to them why they're in a mask all day and kind of what's going on? And I will tell you, this is going to be a difficult thing. I can't be diplomatic with this because my views on COVID and vaccinations and masking is it's all absolutely bullshit. There is no scientific evidence that shows that the masks are effective, first of all. There's more evidence that shows that the mask is detrimental to the development of the child, and I'll get to that. It's also detrimental to our health to stay indoors, to be in masks. It causes more respiratory infections than COVID. The dangers of wearing a mask far outweigh the alleged benefits. And one of the things that I find very interesting is that the opposing side to my argument is constantly saying, I listen to science, I'm wearing a mask. But the scientists and the doctors and the pediatricians and the therapists and all of science and healthcare is saying, please stop wearing masks. This is ineffective. This is harmful. This is detrimental to your overall health and well-being. It's the politicians that are saying, please wear a mask. So if you're on the side where you say, I listen to science, nah, you don't, because science, as it is, as it stands, is to question reality and to think intelligently about all sides of an argument to, you know, hypothesize what if, right? And guess and check and then come to a conclusion. That's the scientific method, right? It's the politicians that are saying to wear a mask. So with my children, how I've explained to them is in an age-appropriate term, but I explain to them why other people are choosing to wear a mask and why we will not wear a mask and why we are a kind of family that stands up for our rights and our health and our freedom, and that there is a vast difference between being lawful and being ethical. Being lawful would be wearing the mask, right? Because that's what the politicians, the lawmakers are telling you to do. They are taxing businesses that are not enforcing people to wear masks, even though the doctors are saying that the masks are ineffective. They are still pushing this. And so I tell my children, these are people wearing masks because that is the rule in this establishment. We are choosing not to wear a mask because I care about your health and your well-being so much more than following a rule. And they say, but mom, what if someone tells us to wear a mask? And I say, well, we will either get our food to go or we will hold something up over our face until we sit down. We comply just enough to still enjoy life. But for the most part, we don't frequent establishments that make us wear a mask or tell me, put it up over your nose. No. I'm a human and I require oxygen to breathe. And it is detrimental to my health to breathe in my own carbon monoxide, which I'm actually designed to breathe in oxygen, breathe out carbon monoxide. It actually helps the environment for me to be breathing out my carbon monoxide. Carbon dioxide. But that's what helps our environment. It's incredibly detrimental for me to be breathing in my own air. How sanitary is it to sneeze in your mask and then breathe it right back in? Whatever was in your nose that caused you to sneeze needs to get out, okay? We also know that corona, by nature, by design, is a crown virus, which also is a cold and a flu. The coronavirus is a cold and a flu. Both of those, common cold and flu, have been around for centuries. You either get it or you don't. It spreads rapidly. Sometimes there are not symptoms until it's too late and you go, "Ah, crap, I got the flu." You go to bed, you drink some chicken soup, you take some Tylenol, and you're fine. People die every year of a cold. They die every year of the flu. They die every year of pneumonia. In fact, in mass numbers, they die of the flu, especially people who already have a disorder or a diagnosis or some underlying condition, people who have heart defects, people who have asthma, older people, obese people. Why out of nowhere have we decided to tank the global economy, fuck the entire system as we know it, by requiring everyone to wear a mask, stop working, shut everything down because of the flu? It's a flu. It just is. It's a cold. It's a flu. People are dying and it sucks and it's sad, but I am not going to stop living my life simply because this flu or this cold is spreading. It is not spreading any differently than any other cold and flu. And in fact, the people that get it, once they get it, they go, "That was a joke. What? Why was I not able to get that?" And now they are naturally vaccinated because they allowed their system to take in the disease, fight the disease, and be done with it. But instead, if you get the vaccination, which by the way has way more risks to someone's health than actually catching the virus, there's a statistic done by a statistician who says you are 5 times more likely to die of the COVID vaccine than you are from actually COVID. That your child is more likely to get struck by lightning than to die of COVID. Why are we forcing children to be in masks? So that's my stance on that. You may agree, you may disagree, but if you'll look very closely at who's pushing the masks and the vax, it is big pharma and it is politicians. There are people who have an agenda who are pushing this. The doctors are saying, please treat it with ivermectin. The doctors are saying, if you get outside, if you exercise, if you eat a high plant-based diet, if you have a naturally strong immune system, you're going to be fine. The virus is not to be feared. Looking at both sides of those arguments, you have to be outraged if your town or your city or your state is still requiring masks everywhere that you go, If they're, you know, requiring vaccinations for you to grocery shop, for Christ's sake, it's ridiculous. Never in my life have I been asked if I had the flu vaccine before walking into a restaurant. But that's what's happening all over the place, okay? We are no longer in a free country, and what we need to do is to fight back, not just accept that this is the norm now, that this is the reality, but what side of history are you going to be on? Are you going to stand up for your rights and say, I'm not going to wear a mask? That's bad for me, and it's ineffective against the vaccine. I mean, against the disease, right? Or are you going to say, oh, okay, sure, I'll wear a mask because that's what's expected of me. That's not the kind of country that we're in. That's not what the country was founded on, and it's not the kind of country that I want to live in. I want to live in a free country where I have the right to go to the store without a mask over my face. So when I'm asked by other mothers, could you please do an episode on how to help our children during this? You're not going to like my answer. And I'm not, again, I'm not doing this podcast for fans or listeners or money or popularity. I am getting my voice out there. And I will say, stop hiding your children. Put your children back in sports. Put your children back in school. Put your children out there. Take your kids to the parks. Kids are probably going to spread the disease to one another. And you know what? Because they're young and healthy, they're going to get over it. They're going to be fine. They're going to be sick for a couple of days, and then they're going to be fine. It is so much better for your young child to be playing in the yard, to be going on a hike, to be swimming in the river, to be hiking with friends, playing outdoors, joining sports teams, going to Girl Scouts, having play dates, than putting them in a mask and hiding them from others. I heard a parent yesterday telling their child at the playground, which by the way was filled with like 30 kids, no touching, don't touch anyone, don't touch a stranger, don't touch anyone. And I thought, oh my God, that's what's causing anxiety in our young children, because then the other kids are looking at her like, why can't we touch her? What's wrong with her? Kids desire touch. Have you ever noticed when they meet each other, they touch each other's hair, they touch each other's clothes, they touch each other, whatever Spider-Man is on their belly, they touch, they connect. That is natural. They want a hug. You never see two little kids, they meet each other on the playground and they're like, hey, I like pizza. I like pizza too. Let's be best friends. And they hold hands and they run across the playground. They need to be able to touch and connect. That is our human desire. As we get older, we're like, it's kind of weird. I just met this chick at the bar. I'm not going to hold hands with her and walk to the bathroom, right? So there's like some, you know, cultural societal norms that change a little bit, but young children holding hands or hugging after knowing each other 2 minutes, totally normal, incredibly healthy. And I am more an advocate of that than kids in masks. Now think about a baby, for example, a baby that is born into a world where everybody's in masks. All they see is eyes. Half the face is cut off. They don't have the mental cognition to fill in the blanks and go, oh, my caregiver must be wearing a sanitizing mask, right? That's just all they see. There is a part of the brain that actually thrives on the human face, that a baby feels safer, happier, and is more likely to thrive when they have human interaction and when they can see human faces. A baby will actually cry when they look at someone ugly, believe it or not. Someone who has an asymmetrical face, who has darker features, sharper features, versus the, you know, quote, Santa Claus type figure, right? The rounder face, the rounder features, but they need to be able to see the entire face. It helps their brain development. We're talking neurodevelopment, guys, but somehow we're okay with nursery teachers wearing masks and these young developing babies and their brains never seeing a human face, not seeing their mother smile at them when they're grocery shopping together. She's got them in the car seat or she's got them in the carrier. They're right there next to one another. But when she smiles under her mask, the baby doesn't know. All they see is dead eyes. We're looking at an entire generation that is going to be largely affected by growing up around people wearing masks because they can't see smiles. They can't register emotion by feeling it the way that they once did, which was seeing it, feeling it, tapping into it, and it becomes a part of them. It is very important for children to see a human face. It is very important for children to be able to touch. And what we can do with young children, the most important thing is to validate their fears. A lot of parents will say, oh, it's not a big deal, honey, just put on your mask. No, 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 no. It is normal for your child to not want to cover their face. It is normal for them to want to go outside, to play with others, to touch others, to smile at others and see their friends smiling back. That is normal. So what we need to do is validate those fears and let them know, I see you, baby. I hear you. I know you want to go outside with your friends, and that's why we're going to do it. Someone might tell us, no, you need to wear a mask. And if they do, we say, all right, too bad, we're leaving, right? Teach your children to have a voice. That creates survivors over victims, okay? I want my children to be strong and have their own voice. And when they're told to do something that doesn't line up with their personal feelings and beliefs and ethics, I want them to have the voice to say, well, that's not what we do. And I've taught them this and I've seen the strength in it. When they go into the childcare gym, every child puts hand sanitizer on their hand, but my kids refuse to because I explained to them hand sanitizer creates a film on the top of your hand. Viruses get stuck to the film. They don't always die right away. In fact, sometimes they mutate and they become stronger. Do we want germs to become stronger? And they go, no. And I go, and that germ is now sitting on your hand. It gets stuck in the sanitizer. What happens if you touch your nose or your mouth? They go, oh, the germ. And I go, that's right. The germ gets into your nose or your mouth. We're not a family that uses hand sanitizer. And they go, but we have to when we go in. I go, no. You are in charge of your body. You tell the teacher, my mommy doesn't let me use that. And the other option is to go wash your hands with soap and water. And you can tell the teacher, I don't want to use that, but I will go wash my hands for safety. And that's fine. And that's the best way to comply, but still have a voice. And someone said, well, you're entitled. I don't motherfucking care. I don't feel entitled because I'm standing up for myself. That's not entitled. Standing up for yourself, being an independent thinker, having your own opinions on things and acting according to what you think is ethical and right, that's not entitled. So those kinds of comments don't bother me because I'm very firm in my decision that vaccinating children for something that their natural immune system is perfectly capable of fighting, unethical. I don't care if it's lawful, unethical. And I'm not going to do it. What is in the vaccine is far more dangerous to the developing system than catching the disease itself, especially with COVID. Now, I'm not even going to get in vaccinations for all of the other things that we overpump our children full of, but the COVID vaccine is made with aborted fetal tissue. Look it up. You're probably not going to find a lot on there because Zuckerberg and his whole team of people and Bill Gates and all of that, they're hiding a lot of information. But if you dig deep, aborted fetal tissue is what they grow vaccines on, all vaccines, not just COVID. It's either monkey kidney tissue or it's aborted fetal tissue. It is made with mercury, metals, formaldehyde, and this particular vaccine, the reason it's ineffective is it is made with gene therapy, meaning that it tricks your genetics to recognize and fight the disease. However, this is not a disease like, I'm trying to give a good example of something we vaccinate for, but most of them are bullshit. This is a virus. A virus by design, okay, this is basic life science, people. A virus by design will mutate and become stronger, which is why every year there's a new flu vaccine. There's the bird flu. There's the swine flu. There's the flu B. There's the flu A. There, whatever. It's a different strain every year, and it always has been and always will be. The more we keep trying to fight these types of things rather than allowing our human immune system to fight these diseases, we're allowing them to get stronger, and they're just going to keep mutating. You can't get ahead of a virus with a vaccine. It just doesn't make sense. It's just not even scientific at this point. So I'm not going to pump my child full of something that I know is bad for them. Metal, mercury, formaldehyde, preservatives, aborted fetal tissue from God knows what kind of fetus, where that fetus is, or what kind of genetic makeup that baby has. I'm not going to inject my child's bloodstream with that. I'm just not going to do it. And I'm not going to be somewhere where that is required of me. I am going to be a voice. And I know that this episode has probably taken like a whole bunch of twists and turns. And I knew that once I started recording, I would not be able to turn my voice off. I'm just very passionate about this. And I hear from some of you, your concerns about your children are how do I help them not be anxious? How do I help them deal with this? Don't comply. Help your child be stronger. Give them a voice. Stand up against your school board. Stand up against the district. Stand up against your pediatrician. Stand up against your politician. Go march the steps. This is unconstitutional. This is unethical. And it should not be considered lawful to require a mask or quarantine or vaccination for young children, let alone adults. To shut down the economy, to refuse people the right to work and to make a living, this is unconstitutional and it has to stop. Our children are in danger right now. If we don't be their voice, if we are not their voice, they will struggle. And we will have an entire generation of kids who are anxious, who are traumatized, who are hypochondriac, who are germaphobe, who are scared to take initiative, who don't know where the boundaries are. We're talking major effects here. And what we need to do is give back the voice to our children and be the voice for our children. If your child is struggling with anxiety, get them outside. If they are struggling with being scared of germs, let them eat off the floor. If they are struggling with not being able to see people's faces, refuse to wear your mask or go to establishments where you don't have to wear a mask. That would be my best advice. And above all, empathize with them, connect with them, validate with them, and find like-minded people in your community that share the same views and who are also willing to stand up for what is right, who are not afraid to have a play date, who are not afraid to go outside and go for a walk with you, and who are not afraid to stand up against this. If your state requires things that you don't agree with and your children are required to go to school wearing a mask all day long, start a homeschool pod. That's what we're doing. I am not going to send my child to a school, even one that I am fully supportive of their pedagogy and I love their teachers and their campus. If they are required to wear a mask, I'm not going. And I will not force my children to go because I feel that the dangers of wearing a mask are far worse for our children's psychological well-being, social and emotional and mental well-being. They will not be able to concentrate on their schoolwork. They will be in constant mental angst as well as physically uncomfortable. They are at risk for breathing difficulties and respiratory infections wearing a mask, and I won't do it. If you're one of those, I advise you to try to hire a teacher who also feels that they don't want to be in a mask or required to vaccinate. And by the way, the definition of fully vaccinated has now changed. It's going to be where, you know, you have to get your two shots, but then you also have to get your booster. And then in 6 months, you got to get another booster. And then in 6 months, you got to get another one. I'm not buying it. So my advice would be to start a homeschool pod, homeschool your children. Whatever you can do, get a group of people together and find ways to get around this. Eventually, the politicians will see that the American public is not going to cower. But in order to do that, we have to stop cowering. You cannot be scared to have a voice and to let somebody know, I am not going to do this. I did that today at Target. I went into the store and everybody's in a mask because I'm in the most maskiest state in America. And she said, oh, you forgot your mask. I said, no, I didn't. I chose not to wear one because I'm a human and I need oxygen. And she went, ugh. And she rolled her eyes and walked away. Okay. And I wanted to like pretend sneeze on her, but I wasn't going to be like that. That's snarky because that's awful. But sometimes I just get so heated about it because I know that they're ineffective and I'm not going to let anybody tell me how I need to live my life. And that is not entitled. That is freedom. I'm sorry. It just is. I don't want to live in a world where I also can't travel to other countries and show my children the beauty of the world because everyone's scared of a goddamn flu. And my heart goes out to the people that have lost their lives. I know a lot of people have died. I've had family members get it. My little sister got COVID and she has like the worst asthma. She was in the 1% that could have died from it. And I was upset and I was scared, but she got over it. And I know that there are some that did not, but if that was my sister's time and that's how she went, I would be heartbroken, of course. But I wouldn't blame anyone that gave it to her. They didn't know that they had it. I wouldn't blame society for living their lives because my sister died from this disease. I would not expect the entire globe to stay home simply because my sister has asthma. It's ridiculous. It's completely uncalled for. There's nothing else in our lives that we will shut down the entire world to protect, you know, one person. A very minor, you know, a small majority of the population could die of this and has complications. That complications have been close to me by several people. But even the people closest to them are like, it is what it is. They caught it. You know, they could have caught the flu. They could have caught AIDS. They could have been hit by a drunk driver. We can't live our lives trying to keep everybody alive, especially because our
world is overpopulated as it is. We are not supposed to live to be 120 and 150 years old, and we can't live our lives with a desire to protect every single person. There are going to be people who get sick, and there are going to be people that die. We need to continue to evolve as a species by strengthening our immune system and making healthier choices. And at the core of everything, we need to be really strongly considering mental, emotional, social well-being of our society over the physical, which at this point, the our physical well-being, if you are not elderly or you don't have an underlying disease, your physical well-being is not in danger. Our social, emotional, and mental well-being is in grave danger if we continue down the road that we're on. But as someone who's in the healthcare industry, and I design and manufacture a product that is considered non-essential. It's an empathy-based product that mimics the womb and serves the baby's psychosocial development and neurodevelopment. My product is considered non-essential, and that's why we struggle to sell it, even though it helps to heal the baby's brain. It helps to move the baby's brain towards accepting love and trust and security and psychosocial healing. That's considered non-essential. How? Why? America has it completely backwards. We have to care just as much about someone's psychosocial well-being, neurodevelopment, and emotional well-being just as much as we care about their physical well-being. But right now, we are really pushing stay healthy, stay strong, stay safe, mask up. It's backwards. It's absolutely backwards. Meanwhile, suicide cases are rising. Child abuse is rising almost 400%. 400% child abuse. So who are we saving now? Who are we saving now? 89 people in a nursing home all got COVID. 7 of them died. 87 of the 89 were fully vaccinated. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. What are we doing? What are we protecting people from? Why are we living this life? It is dangerous to our children and to ourselves. So my advice to any of you that are wondering, how do I help my child get through this? You live your life as normal. You stop having conversations about COVID in front of your children. You take them out of a school where the anxiety is probably drastically increased, where they're not seeing human faces every day, where they are probably going to be required to vaccinate themselves full of mercury, metals, formaldehyde, and aborted fetal tissue in order to go to school there. You pull out, you stand up, and you give your children a voice, and you say, we're not going to do it. We are not going to cower. We are not going to comply, and we are not going to live our lives in fear. Instead, we're going to eat some fucking plants. We're going to get outside. We're going to go to the doctor only when we're sick, and we're going to live our lives and trust our bodies and our natural immune system. And I'm going to pull my mask off whenever I do have it on. I'm going to smile at a baby. I'm going to smile at a young child. I'm going to continue to shake hands, hug, touch, and love my community members, because that is what makes this world a better place, not wearing a goddamn mask. So stay tuned. I don't know what the future holds for us here in Oregon. I don't know what the future holds for anybody right now. But I will say that when you don't watch the news and when you don't play on social media too much, COVID doesn't really exist. It's like really a great way to block it out is just like not be a part of it. But at the same time, we do need to be aware of the way that things are changing so that we can act accordingly. But I see a future full of communes, man. I see everybody moving out to the country. I see people starting their homeschool pods. I see the public education system and college, all of that going down the shitter. I see a complete overhaul of our country. I see people fighting back. I think that's where we're headed. This is America. We were founded on freedom thinking and innovation and philosophies that are not currently aligned with our administration and the powers that be. So, you know, if you want to stay afloat and follow my journey, continue listening to the podcast. Please subscribe if you have not. I will be posting some things on YouTube as well as my Instagram page as well. I'll be doing a little bit more IGTV. It's a lot more convenient for me to do things like that. But follow me on Instagram, ChelseaVale_wholeheart. You can also go to my website, wholeheartcrunchyparenting.com.
I would greatly love if you do like what you hear. If you are in support of the mission, I would love for you to subscribe. It's a minimal monthly donation that does help me to continue doing what I'm doing and having a voice and being a voice for all of you. And I have a book list on there that I think you'll find really interesting. It's a members only, but if you do sign up to join Whole Heart, then you do get access to my exclusive member content page, including a book list that is monthly and seasonal and has some bucket list type items for you to do with young children. But anyway, thank you so much for listening, and take care of your families, fight back, be a freedom thinker and a freedom fighter. Be well.